I'll be reading Exodus 1, 22, and then chapter 2, 1 through 10. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: every boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking around the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew's babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went, got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water."
Let's pray together. Lord God, I just want to lift up to you today, mothers. Father, I pray that you would be with all the mothers here and in our church body, that you would give them patience, give them kindness. I know that mothering is a great responsibility, but a great gift that you've given to us, to them. I pray that you would be with them and all the work that they do, all the things they do, that people notice, and all the work that they do behind the scenes that will never be noticed. But I pray that you would encourage them to keep on. I thank you for the great gift that mothers are to all of us. I pray that you would be with the mothers who have kids at home right now. I pray that you would give them extra patience as they chase their kids around and try to train them and teach them up in the things of you. I pray that that you would pour out your spirit extra on them, Father. I pray that for the mothers that you are preparing to be mothers that aren't yet, I pray that you would give them a heart for raising up their kids to know you, and I pray that you would be with them as they seek to follow you in all the different things that they're doing now. Lord, I just thank you for all the mothers. We wouldn't be here today without them. I just pray that you would lift them up and encourage them to know who you are. Amen.
Again, a very happy Mother's Day to all of you moms who are here. I looked back over a number of things that I had done in the past, sometimes not really addressing Mother's Day at all, but just doing some other things. So it was just interesting to see the history of what I have spoken on. But I chose today to share about ministering moms, because they virtually all do. But before we look at Scripture and some of what we can learn there, I just thought I would share some fun things with you. A couple of readings. This one called True Love. And I think you ladies will appreciate this. It says, if you love something, set it free. If it comes back, it was and always will be yours. If it never returns, it was never yours to begin with. If it just sits in your living room, messes up your stuff, eats your food, uses your telephone, takes your money, and never behaves as if you actually set it free in the first place, you either married it or gave birth to it. I knew you would appreciate that. This is Irma Blombeck is long since deceased, but this was her tribute to her mom, and I just kind of appreciated it. It says, when the good Lord was creating mothers, he was in his sixth day of overtime when the angel appeared and said, you're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one. And the Lord said, have you read the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair. And six pairs of hands. The angel shook her head slowly and said, six pairs of hands? No way! It's not the hands that are causing me problems, said the Lord. It's the three pairs of eyes that mothers have to have. That's on the standard model? The angel asked. The Lord nodded. One pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, what are you kids doing in there? When she already knows. Another here in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she has to know. And of course, the ones here in front that can look at a child when he goofs up and say, I understand and I love you, without so much as uttering a word. I can't quit now. Already I have one who heals herself when she is sick, can feed a family of six on 1 pound of hamburger, and gets a 9-year, and can get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower. The angel circled the model of the mother very slowly. It's too soft, she sighed. But tough, said the Lord excitedly. You cannot imagine what this mother can do or endure. Can it think? Not only can it think, but it can reason and compromise and dream, said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over and ran her finger across the cheek. There's a leak, she pronounced. I told you, you were trying to put too much into this model. It's not a leak, said the Lord. It's a tear. What's it for? It's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride. You're a genius, said the angel. The Lord looked somber. I didn't put it there. Okay. Then I had to share this absolute classic called What is a Grandmother? And this is really old, but it's really funny. It was written supposedly by a third grader. It was shared by Dr. James Dobson in his book, What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women. And here's the thoughts from a third grader. What is a grandmother? A grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own. She likes other people's little girls and boys. A grandfather is a man grandmother. He goes for walks with boys, and they talk about fishing and stuff like that. Grandmothers don't have to do anything except be there. They're old, so they shouldn't play hard or run. It's enough if they drive us to the market where the pretend horse is and have a lot of dimes ready. It's really old. Or if they take us for walks, they should slow down past things like pretty leaves and caterpillars. They should never say, hurry up. Usually grandmothers are fat, but not too fat to tie your shoes. They wear glasses and funny underwear. They can take their teeth and gums out. Grandmothers don't have to be smart, only answer questions like, why isn't God married? And how come dogs chase cats? Grandmothers don't talk baby talk like visitors do because it's too hard to understand. When they read to us, they don't skip or mind if it's the same story over again. Everybody should try to have a grandmother, especially if you don't have television, because they're the only grown-ups who have time. I think that's rather profound from a third grader. And I very much want to acknowledge that this can be a very happy and joyous day for a lot of ladies, but a tough day for others who would like to be moms and are not able to be for whatever reason. And so this was sent to me, and I just want to share it kind of to acknowledge all of you ladies, whether mothers or not. And it's called One Flaw in Women. And I'm brave enough to mention one. It says, women have strengths that amaze men. They bear hardships and they carry burdens, but they hold happiness, love, and joy. They smile when they want to scream. They sing when they want to cry. They cry when they are happy and laugh when they are nervous. They fight for what they believe in. They stand up to injustice. They don't take no for an answer when they believe there's a better solution. They go without so their family can have. They go to the doctor with a frightened friend. They love unconditionally. They cry when their children excel and cheer when their friends get awards. They are happy when they hear about a birth or a wedding. They grieve at the loss of a family member, yet they are strong when they think there is no strength left. They know that a hug and a kiss can heal a broken heart. Women come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. They'll drive, fly, walk, run, or email you to show you how much they care about you. The heart of a woman is what makes the world keep turning. They bring joy, hope, and love. They have compassion and ideas. They give moral support to their family and friends. Women have vital things to say and everything to give. However, if there is one flaw in women, it is that they forget their worth. So, ladies, today I just want to say don't forget your worth, because truly you are priceless. And there are some priceless and precious examples in Scripture that are given to us. I thought about a few things that I put my mother through as a child, and I can distinctly hear somebody asking her about her hair getting gray. And she said, "I'm not about to color it. I earned every one of them." And then she looked at me. I don't know what that meant, but it's one of those things. When I think of moms, I just think of ministry. I just think of service. They're so giving of themselves, constantly thinking of others first, wanting to do for others. And a passage in Philippians 2 came to mind. I put it on your outline so you don't have to turn there. But in Philippians 2, Paul starts the chapter challenging us as believers to be like Jesus Christ and to serve other people. And so he says that, and then he goes on and gives the example of Jesus, and he said, Jesus was a servant all the way to the cross, all the way to the point of death. Jesus gave up everything, died upon the cross to pay for all of our sins. And he essentially says, be like Jesus, have the same attitude that Jesus has. But he starts that, and I want you to look at verse 3 and 4 there, Philippians 2, because this, I think, is, at least for this week, what I thought of, the perfect verses for moms, the perfect illustration. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. I think if moms forget another thing, or if there's another flaw, they often neglect their own interest for the benefit of others. You know, often neglect what they would like to do in order to do for others. So I just thought those verses, considering others better than yourself, forgetting their worth and putting others first, and considering the interest of others, not just their own, but putting them first again. I just think that perfectly describes so many moms. And there are some tremendous examples in scriptures. I think of moms who did some remarkable things, as is common for so many moms. And I could have expanded any one of these and probably did the whole message on them. But turn with me to Exodus chapter 1. I'm going to share these five ladies, and we're going to go through them fairly quickly. And you can go back later. I would encourage you to do that and just look at what's told about these ladies and the lessons that we can learn from them. And I just picked a couple things very quickly, but I think there's a lot to learn from them. Devin read for us very well the story in Exodus of Moses' birth. And his mother, Jochebed, is not even named in this passage, but we know that's who she was, so I put her name down there. Pharaoh wants, because he's being threatened because the Jews were blessed so much and prospering so much, he wants all the male babies thrown in the Nile River and done away with. But Jochebed sees her son, and with the mother's heart, she can't do that. And so she protects him for as long as she could. And then she has a plan to try and save his life. I think most mothers would do anything that they possibly could to save the life of their son. And so she gets the basket and she coats it so that it won't sink or get water in it. And ladies, I don't know if you can picture in your mind, just I can't really, I have a tough time preaching through Genesis 22, the story of Abraham nearly sacrificing Isaac. That one's just tough for me to comprehend. So I don't know if you can comprehend this one as well. You know, preparing a basket, putting your son in the basket, and then putting him in the river and walking away. Now, she had Miriam, Moses' sister, there to kind of watch and to see what happened. And I think, boy, if it had gone bad, that would have been fairly traumatic for Miriam. But she planned all of that out, took care of all those kinds of details. Now, the story tells us that Moses' daughter came, saw the basket, saw that it was a baby, you know, fell in love with the baby, wanted to keep it. Miriam says, "Do you want me to get somebody to nurse it for you?" She says, "Yes." So she pays Moses' mother to nurse him. After he was weaned, his mother takes him to Pharaoh's daughter, and Moses grows up in Pharaoh's palace with everything that anyone could possibly want. You know, I just think the ministry that's listed there, moms, is to plan. To plan for your children ahead of time, certainly, as well as protecting them. I mentioned Genesis 22. I'll just throw this in real quickly. As I thought of that story about Abraham taking Isaac and going a three-day journey and the Lord saying to sacrifice Isaac, and you remember how hard it was for them to have Isaac. They were both way beyond childbearing years and all of that. You know what it doesn't tell us? It doesn't tell us what would have happened had Sarah found out what Abraham was doing. You know? Abraham probably billed it as, "Oh, honey, we're just going to go on a little fishing camping trip and we'll be gone 3-4 days. Okay? And the Lord had said, "Go and sacrifice Isaac." Had Sarah found out what Abraham did, there would have been no protecting Abraham, you know, through that. He would have been in huge trouble. Moms plan and moms protect. Ladies, don't be overly protective. You know, let them learn some of the reality of life out there. But certainly we need to plan for them and protect them as well. Turn over with me to 1 Samuel, first chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Great story here about Hannah. Hannah was barren, which for a Jewish mother was the absolute worst thing that could possibly happen for a Jewish woman, I should have said. She's barren, she has no children, so she prays to the Lord for a son, and she promises to give him to God when he was weaned, and she then kept her promise. Look at verse 11. We pick it up kind of in the middle of the story. In verse 10, it says, "In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord." Verse 11, "And she made a vow, saying, 'O Lord Almighty, if you'll only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.'" So Hannah promises and vows that when her son was weaned, she would give him into service of the Lord and he'd never have a haircut. And that was kind of a vow that they made to show that they were set apart in that way. Look over at verse 20. It says, "So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, 'Because I asked the Lord for him.'" And then verses 26 through 28. In verse 25, she brings Samuel to Eli, the priest, at the temple. And in verse 26, "And she said to him, 'As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord.' And he worshipped the Lord there." And no doubt Eli was absolutely thrilled to be in charge now of a three-year-old in worship in the temple. So, but I see Hannah's ministry in a big way is that of prayer. And I think we absolutely should never diminish the power of prayer. For she prays ahead of time for a son, and the Lord answered that prayer. I have read of someone who prayed for their children from before their birth and from that point on. But as soon as they were born, this parent couple began praying for their child's spouse. And someone says, "Well, you know, you're talking 20 years away." And they said, "Yeah, we didn't think it was too soon to start." And they began praying for a godly spouse for their child right away and prayed that and took time every week to fast and to spend that time in prayer on behalf of their child. So we can never diminish the power of prayer. Hannah made a promise or a vow to the Lord, and she kept that promise. She kept that vow. Then I put the word, she proceeded. She kind of put feet on her prayer, and when Samuel was weaned, she took him to the temple. And again, I sent my daughter off to college and thought I was going to die. You know, I mean, that was tough to let go. And I think that's the hardest thing that we have to do as parents. But that's what we're called to do, to train them up to know the Lord and then to release them. And it seems like it happens so quick. It happens so fast. Hannah prayed for her son. She said, I'll give him up. And then she proceeded and followed through upon that. I think that's a very powerful ministry and a very powerful example to all of us to let go at such an early age. Turn over with me to Luke, the first chapter. We're going to have a little Christmas in May here. Luke chapter 1. The story of Mary, and most of you are very familiar with this because it is part of what we traditionally think of as the Christmas story. Luke chapter 1. I want to start with verse 38. For the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her that she's been chosen to bear God's son. And that's a rather life-changing announcement, as any birth is, but this one especially. In verse 38, Luke 1, Mary responds to all that news. She said, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. So Mary very much surrenders to God. She's given the message, you've been chosen, you're special, the Holy Spirit, the power of God is going to come upon you, you're going to have a son, he's going to be, he's the son of God, he's going to do absolutely incredible things. And Mary doesn't say, no, wait, hold it, stop, wait, I'm not ready for that. No, she says, may it be to me as God has said, and thoroughly surrenders to him. Moms, I think of no greater example than to surrender and live an obedient life to God and train your children to do the same. Look at verses 46 through 49. For shortly after that, Mary worships. And she expresses her praise for being chosen of God. It says, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. See, Mary surrenders to God and then gives praise to God for all that He's doing in her life. I just think, ladies, that's a tremendous example to give to all those around you. To surrender to God and then to be thankful for all that He's doing and express that to Him. Luke chapter 2 is what we really know as the Christmas story. As Jesus is born, as the shepherds go and appear in the stable in Bethlehem. And Mary sees all of that take place in chapter 2 and in verse 19. It says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. So between the announcement all through the pregnancy and now the birth has occurred, and she just thinks back about all that God has done in her life and how absolutely incredible it was. And it just in kind of a quiet way, it says she pondered all of that in her heart. She believes what God said to him and kind of basks in his work in her life. And I think she ponders with great pleasure his working in her life. So ladies, there was a number of things that I thought of saying there. I think we need to stop and smell the roses and enjoy them when they're little. Oftentimes if Linda and I are at a store or we're out somewhere and we see people with little children and there's any opportunity to kind of have a conversation, well, I'll sometimes ask about the kids and say, how old are they? And, those kinds of things. And then I simply say, enjoy them because they grow up so fast. And I'll tease, if there's a little girl that's about 2, I'll say, is she married yet? And they look at me like, what kind of a dork are you? Or if there's a little boy, I'll say, is he driving yet? And they know what I'm doing. And I'll just say, that'll happen just overnight. All of a sudden, he's going to like girls and your world's going to change. And I'll just say, just enjoy them because they grow up so fast. So moms, I think the ministry that we can take from Mary pondering and enjoying that moment is just to let the children have a childhood. We make them grow up so fast anymore. You know, it just seems like so often they don't get to really have a childhood. We just force them into adult things just way too quickly. We make them grow up way too fast. I didn't like changing diapers either. When there were two pairs, I hated it. And didn't, you know, there's stages that maybe aren't as much fun as other stages. But it's all an incredible blessing of God. And they really are just on loan to you for an incredibly brief time. Let them have a childhood and enjoy them because they are gifts of God. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 5. This is Lois and Eunice, Timothy's mother and grandmother. Noah may be a preacher when he grows up. He is one of the more verbal young men I've ever known. He comes with grandma to work, just yaks all the time. It's really funny. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Paul says to Timothy, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. And look at chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15. Paul says there, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Incredible example of a mother and a grandmother who taught Timothy the Scriptures. And recognize in those days, they didn't have 17 different versions of the Bible that they could go and pick up and read. They didn't have children's Bibles. They didn't have all that kind of stuff. Often there were scrolls at the synagogue, but the tradition in those days was oral. The people really knew the Scriptures, and they would teach it to Timothy orally and share it with him in that way. So imagine the time that was spent teaching him. And it says from infancy, right away. Not waiting until he could read, not waiting until sometime later, but from infancy, reading to him the Scriptures and teaching to him the Scriptures. Man, I think that that's just an incredible example for all of us to invest that time sharing with the little ones Scriptures. You know, a pastor that was a friend that in Ohio. And we were in Cincinnati Reds territory near Dayton. And so the Reds were big. And this pastor's son could tell you the Reds starting lineup. He was about 3 or 4. He could tell you the Reds starting lineup. He could tell you their batting averages. And he could tell you a whole lot of other statistics about them as well. And another pastor, just being mean, said, can you say the books of the Bible? And he goes, you know, he didn't have a clue. You know, the pastor hadn't spent the time working with him on learning those. But boy, he knew statistics about the Reds. And it ended up being kind of humorous, but a huge point was also made when that happened. Ladies, we can be a tremendous influence and a tremendous example. Did it die? To our young ones. So just to encourage you to invest that time to be spiritual examples to the little ones and to keep it up as they grow. There is so much to teach and so much to learn, and spiritual things truly matter. So please invest that time. They can also challenge the dads in that way. That's not just the mom's job. It's for dads as well. So step up and be involved early on in the spiritual growth of your children. Again, I'd encourage you to look back at those ladies that mentioned the stories that are told about them. I think there's some great things to learn from all of them. So moms, I hope it's a very special day for you. Thank you for all that you do for all of us. And I certainly wish you all God's best, not just today. Father, all of Scripture is given to us as an example. And certainly these ladies that we have mentioned were tremendous examples of motherhood in so many different ways. Father, help us all to apply those principles, to be there for the little ones, to help raise them up, to be there for each other, to raise each other up, to encourage and to stand beside and to protect. Lord, may we be there because we're family. May we be there because you're our Heavenly Father. So, Lord, I pray it's a very special day for all the mothers in particular, but for all of us as we give you praise for all that you do in our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.